Let's pray for the offering. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given to us, the opportunity to come to this house and worship you and sing praises to your name. God, I pray that you'd take this offering and use it according to your will here at this church. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Six oh six. Let's stand together as we sing, "Oh, Say But I'm Glad." 606.
Love he brings.
404, the haven of rest. 404, let's stand together and let's sing it out tonight. My soul in its sad exile, but I've anchored my soul to the haven of rest.
Merits to my name, no works that I can claim. my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till His glorious light of love shone down on me, and His mercy washed all my sins away. What He did for me that day was a price I knew He paid, and by His grace I too can say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the blood of God's own Son. I have come every kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as they cast their crowns down at His feet. This will be their story, this will be their song. I have come by the way of the cross.
Gentlemen, may I have your attention? I want to introduce to you, in this corner of the good and the right, stands the champion robed in white. His reach reaches everywhere, His age is evermore. He is higher than the highest. mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. All time undisputed, undefeated champion. All time undisputed, undefeated champion of
last week. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit tonight, and I figured the Holy Spirit enjoys singing about Jesus. And so John chapter 14 tonight. When I heard it last week, I thought with the music playing, it would sound like Superman. Did anybody else think that? Was it just me? It sounded like the Superman theme, but it was a whole lot better. Jesus is not just some Superman. He is the Son of God. So it was a whole lot better than what I expected, and praise the Lord for that. What a great song, and they do a good job on that song, by the way. In case some of you wanted to say amen and just couldn't get it out, they did a good job, didn't they? Amen. And I got to say, not that we compare, but Jocelyn, I think that is the best I have ever heard you sing a song. That was phenomenal. What a great song choice, and it just fits your voice and just did a fantastic job. When you sing out, I'm telling you, good things happen. And she did a good job on that song as well, just in case you got an amen stuck there too. Amen. John chapter 14. Don't you hate it when they get stuck? Let them out. It won't hurt you. They'll hurt if they get stuck in. Amen. If you have a chance to praise the Lord and you don't do it, I wouldn't want to stand before God like that. Anyway, that's up to you. John chapter 14. Let me say this tonight. 2 weeks from tonight, Pastor Al Stone will be with us for our last Bethel night of the year. And we've had three different times where we've brought young men back that have been a part of Bethel in their past. And so we had, of course, Jason Eagles back in January. And then we had Justin Heath come in about April. And then we also had Brother Dave Kopflesh come in. And I know you folks all love those men and their families, and we're good to see their wives and their kids. And so in 2 weeks from tonight, Pastor Al Stone will be coming through. And we've been working on a Bearing Precious Seed project and trying to raise $28,000 that we might distribute 200,000 John and Romans, the Gospel of John and Romans, marked editions with the gospel message in them as well, pointing them to the right scriptures. All across Ontario. Now, of course, that won't do all of Ontario, but we want to do a portion. And it's such a shame that somebody gave them, I want to say, 750,000 John and Romans signatures. Now, that's just the big newsprint block of John and Romans printed. They have to cut them, break them up, put covers on them, cut the edges, process them, staple them, all the rest, and then box them all up. And they had all hundreds of thousands of John and Romans ready to go and no money to ship them. So that's a shame. We need to get God's word out. It can't be sitting on a skid on a cement floor somewhere. And so that has been our project. We're close to $10,000. I expect after this evening's offering, we'll go past $10,000. And so be in prayer about what you can do the next couple weeks. Now, we are prepared. God has blessed us incredibly the last few years in our missions program, and we've talked to the deacons. We are prepared to chip in and help with that, but every bit that we raise means there's more money to go to another project somewhere else, and we can help somebody else as well. And so let's be praying what we can do the next couple weeks, and we'll make a presentation to Pastor Stone on that night, but also be thinking how you can encourage his family and write him a card or give him a gift or something. We'll put the box out there. You can do whatever you like, and we don't look at that. We don't count that. We just hand them the box and say, here you go. And you take what's in there. And so try to be a blessing to them in just a couple weeks. This week is Fair Week. And I know that some of you get excited about the fair. Some of you go just because you've gone for 93 years and you have to go to keep your streak alive. I understand that. Some of our teenagers go and they spend $30 on deep fried chocolate bars. That's all they do. And whatever makes you happy. But let me say this. We have a booth at the fair where we're trying to reach people with the gospel. We're going to hand out gospel tracts all week. We play a little game with the children, and that helps get the parents there for a few minutes. And while the children are playing a game,
we talk to the parents about the Lord and we invite them to church and give them some gospel literature and some pens. As a matter of fact, that was where the first time I met the Camerons was at the Norfolk County Fair. They came by our booth and we began to talk, and a couple years later now they're part of our church and we're thankful for them. And so be in prayer for this week and for our workers. If you'd like to help with that, we're having a brief meeting right after the service just to go over, make sure everybody's familiar with what we're giving out and what we're doing. And then on Tuesday, we will start at the fair. So join us for that meeting if you'd like to be a part of that. There's always slots available. We have three or four workers maybe at a slot, but it doesn't hurt to have a fifth or a sixth, because every once in a while somebody says, I'd like to go get a coffee or what have you. So it's good to have extra workers. And that also gives us more people to talk to, especially Seniors Day is a big day there. We have a lot of seniors that stop, and they love just standing and talking for a little while. And so we always need extra help on Seniors Day especially. And so John chapter 14, let's look tonight. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Understanding the Holy Spirit. You know, it's fearful in our day and age that we do not neglect the Holy Spirit of God. It's working in our lives. And it's easy, I think it's easy at times, for us to disobey the Holy Spirit because we aren't very sensitive to Him. It may not be intentional, but when that still small voice rings within our heart, we wonder, well, is that really what I should be doing? And we just need to understand that we should submit to Him and be sensitive to Him and obey Him, because He is going to lead us in the path of right. And that's His job. I think for many years now, we have been so afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit because we don't want to be called charismatic. Well, friends, the charismatics do not have the corner on the Bible, nor do they have the corner on the Holy Spirit. Somebody said this about D.L. Moody. Does he think he has a corner on the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, but the Holy Spirit has a corner on D.L. Moody. And that's really ought to be our approach. We ought to be sold out for Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit of God. Now, John chapter 14 is a bittersweet chapter in the Bible. It starts out really exciting, but you have to understand the context. Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed at the hands of sinners. I'm going to die on a cruel Roman cross and pay the price for the sins of the world. And it's interesting that the disciples, you'll remember that after Jesus rose from again, the Bible says, oh, and then they remembered the sayings of Jesus. It seems like they're a little bit blinded. It was difficult for them to grasp the thought of the resurrection. Peter did not want Jesus to go to Jerusalem, for he might die. He says, surely, Lord, we're not going to do that. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. Why was he afraid that he would die if he knew that he would rise again? But Peter didn't have that confidence as of yet. So Jesus says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message and song tonight. We pray that you would receive it and be honored and glorified by it. Father, we pray that you'd quiet our hearts now as we turn our thoughts and hearts towards the Scripture. We pray, Lord, that you would work it into our lives tonight, that you would draw us closer to you and help us to understand the working of the Holy Spirit within us, that we might serve you better, that we might exalt you in a greater way, that we might leave here changed and ready to face the world tomorrow. Father, I need your help, and so we ask for the Holy Spirit's presence, Lord, tonight. And we surrender to you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot about the Holy Spirit that would help us, and the reason for my title, Understanding the Holy Spirit. I think many of us have a pretty good grasp on what the Holy Spirit is and who he does. He is the, or what he does in our lives. He is the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Many today will deny the Trinity, and I'll be honest with you, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible in any place, but even in this passage, we see that Jesus Christ said, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. Philip said to him, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus must have been hurt by that. He says, have I been so long with you that you've not seen? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Later on, he says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I want you to notice tonight when we are thinking about understanding the Holy Spirit, I want to stretch your thinking a little bit and perhaps open some things that I had not really seen before. But I want you to notice, first of all, that when we read and study about the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, the first thing it'll do is it'll strengthen your doctrine. It will strengthen your doctrine. Notice three key phrases with me tonight. The Bible says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Look at this, that he may abide with you forever. He may abide with you forever. That strengthens my doctrine, because when I read that passage that Jesus Christ said, I will send you another comforter, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you forever, right away I have to think, he's talking about eternal security of my soul. Now think about that. The Bible says that Jesus Christ later on, and by the way, you'll notice that Jesus says, I will come to you. He's in the context of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, I will come to you. He and the Holy Spirit are also one. Later on he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to understand this. In order for you to go to hell tonight, once you're a child of God, once you have been sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit would have to go with you. Do you understand that? The devil is going to have to climb over the Holy Spirit to cast you into hell, to take you to hell with him. Are you following me? You say, well, how is that even true? I don't understand that. For me to go to hell after I'm a child of God, after I'm saved, doesn't the Bible say you've been sealed on the day of redemption? Doesn't the Bible say that in Ephesians? Does the Bible not say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Does the Bible not say in John chapter 14, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you a comforter that he may abide with you forever? Let me ask you this, how long is forever? Do we have any doctorate scholars here tonight? Any Rhodes scholars, anybody with a 200 IQ that can tell me what forever means? Forever means forever. That's what I learned when I was a child, that forever means a long time. It means that there is no ending, that it goes on forever. And in order for me to go to hell, the Holy Spirit has promised he will never leave me nor forsake me, and he will abide with me forever. Therefore, he has to go too, or else God is a liar. Now let me ask you, do you think that's going to happen? No way. The Holy Spirit's not going to hell. And so therefore, I look at this and it strengthens my doctrine. I say, that's the eternal security of my soul. Knowing that God has sent his Holy Spirit and he's put his seal upon me and he's indwelt my life and he will never, ever leave me. There's no way I can go to hell now that I'm a child of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at the next phrase that we see as we picking through what strengthens our doctrine. The Bible says, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Now, here's the thing that we need to see right here in verse 17. Look at the phrase, the world cannot receive, and then the next phrase, because it seeth him not. You know what that tells me? I have to accept this message by faith. Salvation is by faith alone. He said, how do you see that in the scripture? Read it again with me. He says, even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't they receive it? Because they're not looking through the eyes of faith. If you see the next phrase, the world can't receive it because they seeth him not. The Bible teaches us that faith is believing in what we cannot see. It's this thing, it's the substance of things hoped for. We believe it and we've embraced it by faith, and so we can know that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us because of faith in Christ. Listen, when I read this passage about the Holy Spirit, it says to me, salvation is by faith alone. The context here is that we must receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Listen, I don't know if you're saved tonight, but let me tell you this, and I'll just remind you once again, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but by the way, the choir needs some preaching too. You can only be saved by faith. Your works won't save you. There's not a man that's good enough. There's none that righteous. There's none that doeth good. The wages for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short. The only thing that'll save us is we are saved by grace through what? Through faith. The world can't receive that. The unsaved man can't understand the Holy Spirit because it seeth him not. They say, show me, and I'll believe it. Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, I'm right here. Listen, do you need to see the Holy Spirit? That's the problem today, isn't it? A lot of the charismatics need the sign gifts. The Bible says that tongues shall cease. You read the scriptures and you'll find out that tongues really only happened three times, and it was each as God was introducing the gospel to a new people group. It only happened once just so that they could prove. Paul came back from a missionary trip, and he was telling about the Gentiles, how they accepted Christ, and they didn't believe. They said, no, the Gentiles can't receive Christ. The gospel's not for the Gentiles. And Paul said this, well, they spoke in tongues. They went, oh, well, I guess they got the Holy Spirit then. It was a sign gift against the unbelieving Jews to prove to them. Listen, do we need that today? No, we're to have faith in the Word of God. We're to believe in the Holy Spirit even though we cannot see Him. Salvation comes by faith. Look at the third thing. Verse 18. He says, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, the context here is the Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, follow the context with me, and he shall give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, think of the context. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, I must go that the Comforter may come. So he's not talking about the Comforter in verse 16, is he? Or in verse 18. He's talking about him. He says, I'm going to pray, the Comforter's going to come. He says, even the Spirit of truth, the world can't receive him because it's it. He says, he will dwell in you and you will know him and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I and the Holy Spirit are one. He said, how does that strengthen my doctrine? It puts a firm belief in the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We cannot deny any of them, for to deny any of them is to deny God himself. Jesus and his Father are one, and the Holy Spirit and him are one. Listen, the Bible never contradicts itself. The Lord never contradicts himself. Rather, a thorough examination of Scripture and the sayings of Christ will strengthen your beliefs both in him and in the Word. Study the Holy Spirit. And as you understand him, it'll strengthen your doctrine. Here's the second thing tonight. It will set your direction. Turn to John chapter 16. Just over a page, John chapter 16. I I think I've told you about the lady that one time walked up to three college boys in Taco Bell, and I was one of them. And she was from the Charismatic Catholic Women's League. And they were having a conference in town, and I didn't know that charismatic Catholic women like Taco Bell, but their place was full of them. And they were just, she was just bouncing from table to table, and she finally come in, she just pulled up a chair wherever she was, and I guess she loved to witness, and that was fine. And she pulled up a chair and says, "Hey, fellas, how are you? Do you know Jesus Christ?" I mean, she just was bold. She started telling us about the Lord, and we said, "Well, yeah, we're saved. We're training for ministry. We go to Baptist Bible College." She goes, "Oh, that's wonderful. Have you got the gift of the Holy Spirit?" We said, "We absolutely did. The day we got saved, God gave us a birthday gift." Amen? He gave us all the Holy Spirit we'll ever need. Now, he says to be filled with the Spirit, but that means just let him have control. She says, "Oh, no, 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 no." She says, "You got to talk in tongues." She says, you need to know that you've been baptized in the Spirit, and you need to know you've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible say that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with my heart that I'm a child of God? I don't need to speak in tongues. I don't need to do those sign gifts. That was a sign of unbelief towards the Jews. But it'll strengthen your doctrine to know that you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit. Listen, just believe it. Know that God said he will indwell you. And then we see secondly in John 16 that he will set our direction. Look in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." There's that word in verse 7 again. We see Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he will help us with our direction. You say, what do you mean help us with our direction? If you'll notice what the Bible is doing is he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What is he doing? He's giving us a conscience. He's convicting us by his Holy Spirit's power. And he's saying, don't follow after sin. This is the right direction. Don't go after unrighteousness and foolishness, but follow after me. The Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts and our lives. Now look at verse 9 with me. He says, "And when he has come," verse 8, "he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." You understand that the Lord Jesus Christ traveled this earth for 33 years, and for the last 3.5 years of his life, he gathered a great crowd. We often talk about the 12 disciples, but there's a passage in the Bible that says there were 70 disciples at one point. Now, there was 12 apostles, but there was 70 disciples. There was many disciples in the upper room, 120 numbered there, and many disciples. And by the way, I hope tonight that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who follows and learns the teaching of somebody else. And so I hope tonight that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And while Jesus Christ walked on this earth, those disciples followed after him, and they were guided by his steps. Now, that'd be easy to do, wouldn't it? I mean, you want to know how to do what's right, you just follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, what way should I go next?" Just follow Jesus. "Jesus, where's the next miracle happen? When's the next teaching? How can I learn more?" Just keep following him. And that's what they did. They just followed him around. They got to see miracles, and they got to hear the teaching and the preaching, and they got to see Jesus do some wonderful things, and they understood what the love of, Brother Paul talking about the love of Christ, they felt it firsthand. There was times where they needed encouragement. What better encouragement than Jesus Christ? He was the Comforter while he walked on this earth. They spent all that time with him. But now he was leaving. He says, "It's expedient for you that I go away. And when the Holy Spirit has come, the Comforter has come, he will reprove the world of sin." Why? "Because they believe not on me." The Holy Spirit's job today is to draw people to Jesus Christ. There are scriptures in the Bible, we won't turn there tonight, but in John 15 and John 16 and John 14 as well, it says that he will speak of me, he will testify of me, he will bring into remembrance all things which I have spoken unto you. Three different times the Holy Spirit's job was declared as he would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, he would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, he would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his job is to draw people to Jesus Christ that all men might be saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so he says, what is sin? How can he reprove the world of sin? By the way, the word reprove just means to shine a light upon. We think of the word reprove a little bit different today. It's 400 years since the King James Bible came out, and so we have changed a few words. Don't blame the Bible. We've changed those words. And we think of the word reprove, we think of putting a man down. We think about, hey, I'm going to tell you what your sin is, and I'm going to correct you, and I'm going to get this right with you. I've got a bone to pick with you, and that's what we think of the word when we think of reprove. Reprove means just shine a light upon. Now, think about this. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit would come and reprove the world of sin. Now, Broderick, come up here for a minute, would you? Come on up, come on up, come on up. For a moment here, we're just going to consider. Now, this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful in no way, shape, or form. But we're going to say that Broderick is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. For 3.5 years, I have followed him and I've witnessed Jesus do miracles. How many of you think that when I get standing beside Jesus, I'm going to be reproved? The light is going to shine upon my heart and I'm going to see my sin. Because I'm going to be compared to him. If we love him, we're to keep his commandments. Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me. We're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. That's the point of a disciple. We're supposed to learn and follow to the point where we start looking like him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are looking into a glass that we might be changed into his image, glory by glory. We're supposed to look more like our Savior every day. They should notice it in our love. They should notice it in our compassion. They should notice it in our forgiveness and all these things. We're to look more like him. But now he's leaving. You may sit down. So now whose job is it to reprove me? It's the Holy Spirit's. Now, when Jesus was here, that was easy. I mean, you could just go to him and say, no, what's wrong, Jesus? And he'd say, you could get fixed up real quick. If you have to walk around following Jesus, I feel real bad for husbands back in that day. Why can't you be more like Jesus? Oh, I mean, that's a tall task, isn't it? But the very truth of the matter was, Jesus walked on this earth, and we could look at him, and it reproved our lives of sin. But now the Holy Spirit's going to shine the light. Here's the problem when we don't listen. John chapter 3 says that men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They ran to the darkness. They hid in the darkness. When do crimes take place normally? At night in the dark. Years ago, when I first pastored Faith Baptist Church, I also worked for a security company. And at nighttime, we would have to go around and do security checks on different properties. And so at about 11 o'clock at night, I would have a rounds I'd make, and I'd go to all these different big businesses in Oakville and check their doors, make sure they locked them. And sometimes we'd get a call and say, well, the alarm's not working. Have to go in and make sure the alarm was turned on and things like that. And so I'd do that from about 11 o'clock to about 1 in the morning. And then a couple hours, I didn't have anything I was supposed to do. And so I would sit in a graveyard at Oakville, and I'd write sermons. That's what I'd do in the truck, just write sermons at 1 until 3. Then at 3 o'clock, I had to go back and do some other checks and other properties, and we had to do that 3 or 4 times a night. But there was also times when alarms went off, and we'd have to go and search a building and try to find out what was going on. Maybe somebody was robbing it, or sometimes it was just, you know, a bird flew into the window or something like that and shook the window. It was just something usually minor. One time we went to the mall and a rabbit got loose from the pet store and it was setting off alarms all through the mall. And so we had to catch a rabbit in the middle of the night. And just things like that. But every once in a while, one of the times I came up about 3 in the morning, I was doing a property check. And there was this big, tall high-rise, and there was a truck backed up there, and they were just carrying out photocopiers and equipment, and they were carrying all kinds of things. And I pulled up and said, guys, what's going on? And they said, oh, we're just moving out. They said, our lease is up, and they said, we have to get out, and, you know, they want us out by tomorrow morning. Somebody else is moving in. We haven't had time, so we're just moving out. I said, oh, okay. And I went back to my truck, and I thought, boy, that doesn't sound right. Who's moving at 3 in the morning? So I called the owner of the building. I said, do you have a lease expiring tomorrow or tonight and people will be moving out? And he says, no. He says, that building's brand new. It's only been there 2 years. And he says, everybody that's in there has got a 15-year lease. He says, nobody's lease is expiring. We haven't evicted anybody. I said, there's a truck out in front. They're loading everything up. He says, they're walking out with photocopiers. They're walking out. He says, oh boy. He says, somebody found one of our key cards. So we called the police and the police came. They all got arrested. And it was a good time for me. I had fun that night. I don't know about you. But you know when that happened? 3 o'clock in the morning in the dead of night. Boy, you wouldn't do that in the daylight, would you? Men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Light reproves, it reveals things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He He reveals things to us that we need. Listen, don't tune him out. He's trying to help you. He's trying to make you more like Jesus. He's trying to see your sin that you can confess it and get it right with God. Verse 10, he says, of righteousness. He reproves us of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Boy, we need a righteous example before us. And God is now gone. Jesus has left. So now the Holy Spirit is there. And he's going to reveal righteousness to us. Listen, you say, well, do we really need to get all hyped up about this Holy Spirit? He is our example of righteousness in our daily lives. We better follow him. We better listen. And then he says of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, when Jesus died, Satan thought he had free reign. And when Jesus ascended, he again thought that he could just take full control. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm holding him back. Oh, can you imagine when the rapture happens? How many of you think this world's a pretty rough place today? When the Holy Spirit's taken out, all hell is going to break loose. It's going to be horrible. The Holy Spirit is that restraining force, and so he is bringing judgment upon the evil one, upon Satan, because the prince of this world is judged. He is trying to help us in our direction. We must listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's ministry in your life is to glorify Christ, first and foremost, but to guide us into a deeper relationship with him. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now the context is starting in verse 16, it's the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, he may abide with you forever. Now jump down to verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. How many of you, if you lived in the first century, if your name was Judas, you would always write not Iscariot behind it? Hey, Ben, I wouldn't want that name. That's like a little girl born today, you'd want to name her Jezebel or something. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But he says, I'm Judas, not Iscariot. Make sure you write that down, John. Not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now think about this. Somehow Judas, not Iscariot, got the idea, God's going to have a personal relationship with me. He's going to spend time with me. And so he says, I'm going to find out how this works. He says, Jesus, now tell me something. How is it you're going to manifest yourself to me but not to the world? He said, I'd like to know about that. I'd like to know that in this big old world of probably about 1 billion people back then, not like what we have now, I want to know with all these people, I mean, it's wall-to-wall people around here in Jerusalem, how you're going to have a personal relationship with me. How's that going to happen? So Jesus tells him. Look what it says here in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus and the Father. Now, a lot of times we say, well, we've got Jesus in our heart. No, you've got Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, according to this scripture. He says, my Father and I will both come to you and make our abode with you. How do they do that? In the form of the Holy Spirit. But the three are one. You have the fullness of the Godhead bodily living right in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, read on. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Judas appreciated this personal relationship with Christ, and he wanted to know how it all worked, especially after Christ is gone. And the Bible says in verse 26, the Holy Spirit says, I will bring you. He says, the Comforter's coming later. And he says, I haven't told you everything, back in verse 25. He says, I haven't told you everything. He says, but in verse 26, he says, the Comforter's going to come, and he's going to teach you more. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to teach you these things. What's he going to do? He's going to bring us into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to set our direction. Well, studying the Holy Spirit will strengthen your doctrine, will set your direction, and thirdly tonight, will solve your deficiencies. Solve your deficiencies. The word comforter in John chapter 14 comes from the word paraclete, a Greek word, paraclete, which means to come alongside and help. It also carries the meaning of advocate. So think about that. It means when somebody is hurting, a great way to comfort is just to come alongside and say, what can I do for you? Can I help you? Somebody's sick and down, we make meals for them. We'll, you know, maybe clean their house. We'll do whatever we can. Say, hey, I'll pick up your kids for school. You're not feeling well today. I'll take them to school for you. I'll, you know, whatever I can do to help, I'll help. You need to go to doctor, maybe I can drive you to doctor's point. You got to go to a specialist in Hamilton, I'll take you to Hamilton. Whatever you need, that's a paraclete. That's somebody that comes alongside and says, I want to help. The word advocate means it takes it a step further and they fight on your behalf. In other words, here's how I'm going to help you. Just go ahead and leave it with me. I'll take care of it. Go ahead and leave it with me. You got a lot on your plate. Don't stress over this. Don't worry about this. You let me deal with it. I'll just take care of it for you. I'll help you. It'll get done. That's what the Holy Spirit word means when we see this word paraclete. Now, some people are not so good at comfort. You understand what I'm saying? Some people, somebody I know says, well, somebody comes and they just bawl their eyes out and they'll cry. And he just says, they're there. That's about the most comfort you'll give them. He doesn't know. I got to be honest, it's tough sometimes. I heard of a pastor did this, and Pastor Clayton was telling me, it was a member of his family that was a pastor. This guy came to him, he says, oh, pastor, he says, I got stage 4 liver cancer, and he says, it doesn't look good. He says, they told me if they can't do a liver transplant, I'm going to die. And this friend of, or this relative of Pastor Clayton looked the guy in the eye, and he says, well, everybody's got to die of something. That was the comfort he gave him. Some people are not good at giving comfort, amen? Man, I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that we have the paraclete that says, I will come alongside and I will be your advocate. Listen, think about this. The Holy Spirit has been entrusted by Jesus Christ, who purchased you with his blood and placed you in the family of God. He has ordered the Holy Spirit to take control over your life. That's his job. A few years ago, this whole thing about angels got all blown up again. The New Age movement was talking about angels. It was on the front of Time magazine. I believe in angels. I believe in ministering spirits. The Bible says they're there. I understand that. But let me tell you this. Nothing beats having the Holy Spirit of God right inside saying, I'll take care of you. I'm your advocate. You say, well, I saw that bumper sticker again just the other day. It says, don't drive faster than your guardian angel can fly. That might be good advice, but let me tell you this, I have the Holy Spirit right here, dwelling within me all the time. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is my comforter, he is my paraclete, he will come alongside me, he is my advocate. Now here's the great comfort. The Holy Spirit as our advocate just says this, just leave it with me. I'll take care of it. I'm so thankful there's times around the church where we'll get going on some projects and I'll get talking with somebody and they'll say, don't worry about it, pastor, just leave it with me, I'll take care of it. Boy, I'm so thankful to know that it's just going to get done, I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's taken care of, I don't have to stress over it, I have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit says, when you pray and you ask for something, just leave it with me. I got this. I can take care of this. Turn if you will to Romans chapter 8. Listen, when I sin, I have an advocate along with Jesus Christ fighting on my behalf, pleading with God saying he's under the blood. When I'm struggling, I have an advocate. When I'm in a crisis, I have an advocate. Somebody who's fighting on my behalf, it's the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. What's he doing? Making intercession. That means he's pleading with God for us. Pleading with God, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, that's different than some of my prayers, I'll tell you that. Say, God, here's what I need. Well, that's not my will. This is what I want. Let me rephrase it. It may not be what I need, but it's sure what I want. No, that's not my will. But God, I got to have it. But the Holy Spirit never prays that way. Instead, he prays in the will of God. Look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many of you have memorized and quoted that verse? Don't miss the context. The context of things working together for good in my life is when I let the Holy Spirit take control and say, I'll leave it with you. And he says, I will search your heart because you don't know how to pray like you should. And I say, yes, sir, I don't. And he says, I will make intercession on your behalf and I will do it according to the will of God. And he says, and then all things will work together for good. Here's the problem. We spend so much time messing up. Saying, God, I got to have this. This is what I want. This is what I need. God says, that's not my will. But if I will just let the Holy Spirit have his way in my life and let him be my advocate, let him be my comforter, then he says, I'll work all things together for good. Yeah, I just need to trust that. Let me ask you this, parents. How many times have you told your kids, hey, you know what? I know better. Why don't you just listen to me? Because I know what's best for you, and I've been doing this a long time, and you know what? I was a teenager too, and I was a young adult too, and listen, you just need to listen to me because I know what's best. I've been down this road before, and I can give you some good advice here. How many times have you said that to your kids? Here's the truth. The Holy Spirit absolutely does know what's best. He is perfect. He is God. Leave it with him and trust him, and he'll work all things together for good. Sometimes we understand that we have to learn the hard way. Boy, it's hard to see your kids have to learn lessons the hard way. But I think this is what I want to do. And finally, as parents, sometimes you say, okay, well, that's not what I want you to do, but you're going to learn the hard way. You say, why do parents give advice? Because we want things to work together for good too. We want what's best for our kids. The Holy Spirit's saying the same thing. But here's the truth of it. Me as a dad, I'm fallible. And there are times where my kids might follow my advice and still get in trouble. I'm human. I'm flesh. I said, listen, here's what I think. Here's what I think is best. I've prayed about this and I'm thinking. They may still get in trouble. The Holy Spirit, you listen to him, you'll never go wrong. He will work all things together for good. That's the context of that passage. We love to quote that verse. Well, don't worry about it. God will work all things. No, he won't. Not if you're not resting in the Holy Spirit and letting him plead on your behalf and letting him lead your life. He wants control. Would you surrender to him tonight? God wants what's best for you. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace that passeth all understanding. He wants you to be able to rest in him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He makes promise after promise in the word of God that are for our benefit. But we have to trust him. We have to trust the Holy Spirit knows what is best for us. As we study the Holy Spirit, we know that it'll strengthen our doctrine. It'll also set our direction, but it'll solve our deficiencies. It'll help us to be all that Christ wants us to be. Let's surrender to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit tonight. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to get in tune tonight with that still small voice that is ever pleading, ever directing us, ever trying to help us to go in the right direction. But we must obey. We must listen. So, Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Would we surrender to you? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. The hymn of invitation is playing. If God has spoke to your heart, this altar is open. Would you surrender tonight? Is there some that say, I just need to give up and let the Lord take control of my life? Maybe there's somebody here tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and nobody's looking around. This is between you and the Lord. Is there somebody here tonight say, preacher, I need to be saved. If I were to die, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. The Bible's very simple. It says, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Are you saved tonight? Do you have Jesus Christ? And is the Holy Spirit living in you? It's about having a personal relationship with him. Judas was so excited to learn that he could have a relationship with Christ in this world. He said, how are you going to do that? He says, I'll just come and I'll abide in you. If you just keep my words and obey me, I'll come and live with you. Do you have that relationship with Jesus tonight? Do you understand He is the way, the truth, and the life? Maybe there's one say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I were to die, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking around. I won't call you out. So one say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to know tonight that I know Christ. Just slip up your hand. Is there one? Music's playing. Brother Baker's going to sing the first verse of that hymn. If God has spoke your heart, take some time and pray. Thank Him tonight for His Holy Spirit. How many times has the Holy Spirit kept you out of trouble? We ought to thank Him for that. How many times has He guided us into a truth that has benefited in our lives? We ought to praise Him for that. You understand that you could not be saved apart from the Holy Spirit? He's the one that convicted your heart and convinced you of your need of Jesus Christ. Boy, we ought to praise Him for that, shouldn't we? Let's thank Him tonight, Brother Baker.
Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound.
Together, if you know it, let's pick it up.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost we have. The Father's promise here. The spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter.
We're going to have a meeting right after the service. We'll just meet right down here where Mrs. Took is. If you are helping in the fair booth or you'd like to help in the fair booth at all this week, please come meet. We just need to tell you how to get your free passes to get in, your parking passes, things like that, and go over a couple things we're going to do at the booth. And so please meet with us right after the service right down here. You have some announcements tonight? No? All right. Read your bulletins tonight. We've kept you a little bit late, so we'll let you go. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's be dismissed tonight. Brother Broden, would you lead us in prayer tonight? Would you stand with your big preacher's voice?
Our great Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this privilege you've given us here tonight, Heavenly Father, together here in your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one of us here. We ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts. You know, Heavenly Father, the things that we need to do, you know what is in our hearts. So we ask you, Lord, that you will work in our hearts that we can be of service to you. Thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the life, the eternal life that you have for us. And we ask you, Lord, that you will be with us and guide us and direct us the way you want us to do. Be with each one as we travel at our place home and help us, Heavenly Father, to be in your will and to do the bidding that you want us to do. We thank you again, Heavenly Father, for your many mercies and ask you to bless each one of us as we serve for you. So Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.